join together. And I want to start off tonight by saying that when we talk about coming together in prayer, this is not the end, but this is rather the beginning. And so we're praying because first you want to find center. You want to find your anchor before you begin to put down plans of action. Because the reality is, if you are to act out of any emotion that is not centered, you open yourself up for consequences that you're not necessarily wanting to deal with long term. But our hope tonight and our hope today is that as the body of Christ collectively, because whether you're here on Zoom, and so grateful for you all being here on Zoom tonight, whether you're in our online campus, grateful for you to be being there. I put it on my personal Facebook page, church's Facebook page, YouTube, wherever you're watching. Now more than ever, this is what community is about. We have to lean on each other in times and seasons and days like these. And we cannot be weary in well-doing and doing the right thing. And so today, I just want to briefly encourage your heart and then open this time for a time of prayer and give all of us an opportunity to pray together. There's power in numbers. And my prayer is that, you know, we might not change the world in this instant, but my prayer is that your heart is just encouraged to just take that next step and to keep going and to stay in the fight. Tonight, I actually have invited Deanna Jo Vivian to just, I wanted to ask her some questions, and I wanted you all to hear just a brief dialogue. And in doing so, I want to frame tonight's prayer, and I want to frame our time together and make this worthwhile. I'm not going to keep y'all here all night. Understand how everybody feels about virtual calls and Zoom calls as of late. But what I want to do with, hey there, Joe. Hey. Good to see you. before we launch off into prayer, I'm pulling both on your spiritual acumen and expertise, as well as your professional acumen and expertise, and just your experience in working in the sphere of community and the sphere of really what we're needing is policy and systemic change. You have a longer lens view than I do. And so you've been able to see some things and been able to see more than I've been able to see. But I want to ask you just from an honest place, because it seems like having conversations like this or calling people to prayer like this is happening more times than I'd care to see. And I just was reminded today that 2 years ago, I had to have a similar kind of come to Jesus with our church in regard to George Floyd. And that's not the only thing that's happened. So how do we fight against the feeling of helplessness? Like, why pray? Why?
Oh, that's a good question. And it deserves a serious answer. And so don't think of me as being flippant when I say, why not pray? Mm. We're people of faith. And these are the things that test our faith. You know, it's easy to say we believe when we have everything. You know, I believe for a roof over my head, and I go to bed every night with the roof over my head. I don't know if that's really faith. And so here we are in some dark hours. We are once again witnessing the loss of life needlessly. And I say unnecessarily because I believe we all know it could have been prevented somewhere along the line if it had not been for assault weapons or a parent not noticing something or a teacher not noticing something. Somewhere along the line, it could have been interrupted. So we can't just look at one thing and try to find fault. I think we have to recognize that it is a systemic problem, not just from a government standpoint, but the family system, the educational system, it all is under siege. We have closed our eyes to a lot that's going on around us, and it's time to open them. So I start off by saying, why not pray? God is powerful, and he is mighty, and also omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And I think when we feel like there's nothing else that we can do, there is one who can do. And prayer squarely lets him know the desires of our hearts. Prayer also encourages us. It keeps us in the battle when we want to sit down and do nothing. Yeah. Not connect with God spiritually and not walk away with the residual boost. Personally, after my prayer times, I feel more like a superwoman than any other time. There's an invincibility that comes on me after spending time with God. And lastly, we can't do everything. We have our part, but we can't do everything. And so the parts we can't do, that's where we put our faith in God. And so I would say when you feel like you don't want to pray, then you ask the question, why not pray? And then pray.
Well, tonight we're taking the pattern of Acts 13 and 2, where they ministered to the Lord, they prayed, they fasted, and then it was Holy Spirit said. So we're taking that pattern of, we're sitting at the feet of God for wisdom because our bend is to act. But I guess, you know, one of Dr. King's final works that he had is, where do we go from here? I'm not asking you to come up with the blueprint or the plan for all of us, but are there some general ideas that you're having as to where do we go from here? Where can we, like as a church, as an individual, as a person, what will it take? Will it take just the Black church? Will it take just those who vote according to a certain party line? What is it going to take for us to move forward?
Yeah, it takes all of what you said and all that you didn't say. Change is not gonna come because the Black church rose up or the Democratic Party rose up or Moms Against Violence rose up. Things are gonna change when we the people rise up. This is not a political issue and it is not a Christian issue in the sense of only Christians should be fighting it. It's a people issue. How do we sit back and watch our children be massacred and be okay with it? How do we remain complacent when we have voices and we have power? And it starts with our power to vote, but it also includes our power to protest. It includes our power to lobby. It includes our power to make phone calls and go visit some of our political people who make these type decisions. We get angered by the behavior. We discuss it in our chat rooms and on our social media and while we have dinner. And then we go back to our everyday existence and do nothing. And we continuously vote the same people back in office. You cannot do everything. But that doesn't excuse us and allow us to do nothing. And so find where you fit in. Whatever you do will be enough. If we all do our part, then it will be enough.
Amen. So I for those who are watching, because I want to transition now into the prayer aspect and the purpose as to why we gathered. Understand that we are praying for wisdom to act. This is not just a simple pat thoughts and prayers, because outside of the senseless killings yesterday and a week and a half ago, the shooting in Buffalo, church shootings, there's so many local tragedies that have taken place in all of our states and cities that are tuning in. So this is a constant force. So we need constant strength and constant energy. And so for those who are heads of households, and you may have your family around, you may have your young children around, I'm going to ask that you gather them with you, because we're going to pray as a family, as a community. One of the best things that we can do is model what to do when we don't know what to do. And I'm going to ask that you get your family around, because we want to pray a blessing over them. There are a host of people who I can see just in this one platform here on Zoom. I can't see the other platforms at the moment, but there's a healthy number of people who have joined to pray. And so I want us all tonight to lift up our voices. So don't be a spectator of myself and Minister Joe while we're praying. But I want you all to pray in your own homes for things that are going on as well, praying for those who are experiencing immense, insurmountable grief. Pray for those who, because of the grief that they're seeing on the news, they're triggered traumas that they've experienced in their life. And so it's just the perpetual cycle that we as the body can take authority over. I'm not naive to think that prayer can eliminate all evil. But what I do know about prayer is that it will give us the wisdom to lead us to more constructive action as we move forward. And the scripture that I want to share with you from Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, and this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is in between just one of the most painful experiences that anyone would ever face, and a person who was unjust, being Jesus, to have had to face that, was about to face something. And he was looking and sharing with us wisdom on what to do when you're really entering into or inside of crisis. And Matthew 26 and 41 says, "Keep watch and pray so that you will not give into temptation." Well, what type of temptation do we have the possibility to give into during these times? We have the temptation to give into fear. We have the temptation to give into overwhelming anxiety. We have the temptation to quit, to throw in the towel, to stop doing what we know to do as well, to not pray. And why is that? He goes on to say, "For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." And this evening, you may be feeling like this is just too much. This is overwhelming. And what I want to do in the comments, so on all of our platforms, in the comments, our comments are going to turn into our altar today. And in the comments or the chat of whatever platform you're on, if there is something that you are just tired of, like you're saying, "I am tired of," I want you in the comments to type out, "I'm just tired of," and you fill in the blank. Again, in the comments, I want you to type out, "I'm just tired of," and fill these comments and be honest. In the comments, be honest in the chat. And get these things that you are tired of from within you, outside of you. And what you're doing by faith as we're making our comments, the comment section, our altar today, is a symbolism that I'm no longer going to hold on to this. I am casting, as the word says, the whole of my care onto Jesus to allow him to do the caring for me. So go ahead in the comments and write down, "I'm just tired of." And what I want you all to do, that while you're seeing those statements being placed in the comments, I want you to begin to pray the will of God concerning the answer to the things that you saw in those comments that people are tired of seeing. I want you to pray for families who are grieving. I want you to, even in your own household, in your own life, the things that are bringing you pain, let's pray about those tonight. And so, Joe, I'm going to ask if you could start the prayer. I will close out the prayer. So just be led. And again, this is not a spectator event. Where you are, I want you to join in, whether it's in English praying with us, or if you're filled with Holy Spirit praying in other tongues. Let's do a virtual corporate prayer right now. So, Joe, I'll hand the floor to you.
Heavenly Father, it's in the sweet name of Jesus that we come boldly to your throne of grace. Lord, your word has told us, and we do believe, that at your throne we can find help and grace in our time of need. And if there has never been a time of need, it is one right now. You know the hurt and the pain that this country is dealing with, even as we pray. And Father, as challenging and as difficult as it is for us to feel like spectators to the drama, we can only imagine the hurt and the pain that those who were up close and personally impacted by this massacre are feeling right now. And so before we go any further, Lord, we first want to pray for them. We lift up the families, Heavenly Father, who were shot, children, the family of the children who were shot in Texas, Lord. The young children, fourth graders, third graders, second graders, God, the educators whose lives were knocked down way too early. We our prayer, Father, is that they have been received into your hands and you are comforting them and they are, as we speak, in glory. But we know that there are family and friends and a community that remain right here, right now, who are grieving. And so we lift those people up to you and we ask, Lord, that you also encamp around them and hold them in your loving arms and that you will comfort them, that at one time they too will be a comfort to others. God, help them to make sense out of this senseless act. Help them, Father, not to allow anger and bitterness to take root. But Lord God, find a way to find hope and to find peace and to even find again joy in the midst of this tragedy. We pray, Lord, that justice will rise up. We understand not necessarily against the one who caused the hurt and the harm, Lord God, but let it rise up in this nation that we no longer allow things such as this to transpire, that the hearts and minds, the spirit, the soul of those who are in authority, who make the decisions on the laws, Lord God, and the regulations will be awakened and come out of their stupor, that they can see that change must take place. They cannot lay their heads down anymore and be okay with the status quo, but they will be troubled until change comes. I pray for each and every person who has a heart to see change, that we will not be complacent, that we will not sit still, that we will not be inactive, Lord, but we will fall to our knees and cry out to a God who's merciful and kind and who is able, that you can do what you do to bring this change of heart, that we can hear your wisdom on what it is that we should do, that we will be strengthened for the fight that is at hand, and then leave our prayer room, our prayer closet, wherever it may be, and prepare to go and do the work, for there is much work to be done. We can no longer say we are pro-life, and then we watch our children being slain, not 1 month after another or 1 year after another, but literally daily. Our children are being murdered and massacred in the streets, in the churches, in our schools, and we cannot sit by idle anymore and do nothing. And so we welcome your wisdom. We welcome the opportunity to put our hand, if you will, to the plow, that change can come. God, we trust you and we honor you. We listen for you and we thank you for equipping us and guiding us for the work that is at hand. Amen, amen, and amen.
So, Father, as we just close out today, we see the concerns, as you said, to make our petitions known. That's what we're doing. We're coming from an authentic place. We're not coming with some religious, perfect formatted prayer. We're coming with our rawness. We're coming with our realness. This is how we feel. This is what's going on. The fatigue that is setting in of seeing the selfishness and racism and people struggling and seeing the political dividedness, the hypocrisy, being treated as second class, all of those things which are frustrations that are overwhelming, that are tired. Father, we are coming and laying them at your feet, but we're doing so to exchange our weakness, Lord, for your strength, our turbulence, God, for your peace. And it's in these moments right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray and come together with all those who are praying. Lord, we are not naive to think that we are the only church that is seeking your face right now, who not only are supplicating, but also standing in the gaps for those who do not know you. Help to cultivate within our hearts a level of resilience, that even in the face where there is no reason to keep going, we will look to you as our joy and the author and finish of our faith, to keep going, to keep putting one foot in front of the other, Father, as we're faced with all types of news and tragedy and trauma, Lord. We thank you for the ministry of Holy Spirit, who is there to comfort, who is there to walk alongside. When we don't know what to say, he is the one who gives us the things to say. When we need someone to give us insight, he is our counselor. When we feel weak, he is our strength, God. When we feel indecisive, Lord, he is the one who goes before us and makes our path straight and to know what to do. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we assemble and we come together as the body, utilizing all of our spheres of influence to affect change. So right now, we say that, as Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, here we are, Lord, send us. It's tonight that we're opening our hearts, we're opening our homes, we're opening our lives to be vessels for you. We will not throw in the towel. We will not hang up what you called us to do. We will even yet still, with tears, even yet still with heavy hearts, do what you called us and be those voices in the earth who are bold, who are willing to stand for what is right, who are willing to stand for truth and hold those who are in places of influence and power accountable. We will commit to keeping them in prayer every single day. We will commit to keeping our families in prayer every single day. And we will be sensitive to minister your gospel to those who are in desperate need, not through just our words, not through this, the word says this and the word says that, but with our lives in all that we do. So receive our prayers tonight. Receive these tears. Receive our hearts that are here to worship. But God, we expect you to open a door of utterance so that we will see change in our lifetime. May we draw on the faith of those who came before us, even in the civil rights era, who spent decades working and toiling and fighting for a generation of benefits of which they never see, but stayed in the fight because their eyes were on liberty and justice for all. And that is where we are, and that is what we do. It's in Jesus' name we pray and say and type in, amen, 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 amen. So I want to thank you all for being a part tonight. Prayer is our first response, but it's our first response before we act. And we are committed as a community to work with our partners and to work with others who may not believe and think and live like we live, so that we can work for the same common goal to see a more perfect union. And so thank you for being on this prayer call. I speak a blessing over your life. I speak a blessing over your family's life.